This week on the Nittany Dispatch, we discuss Penn State's bowl availabilities, who's playing, who's not playing, and who's heading to the NFL draft, and we preview the matchup with Ole Miss this week on the Nittany Dispatch. Hello and welcome to the Nittany Dispatch. I am John Sauber, Penn State football beat writer at the Center Daily Times. She is Audrey Snyder of The Athletic, and we're in Atlanta, a little off-site podcasting for us today.
Yeah, despite John's background, if you're watching on YouTube,
yes,
looks like he is in a weird
Listen,
location.
I have to explain this already, then, I guess.
Yeah.
So behind me, the view isn't perfect from my hotel room, but behind me, it's like a parking garage, and there's a really bad glare if you open up the curtains, and the way the desk is turned, like I don't really have a choice here in the situation. It's either that or you stare at like the panel for the air conditioner over there. Like
Listen, that the property knows they're elite members, they're non-elite members. They do
because they gave one of us a king bed, they gave the other two queen beds, and last I checked I'm looking at a king bed over there. So
I don't even think it's a queen bed that I don't know. I have two beds in my room, but in Atlanta, as you can tell by my backdrop, we are in a city, we are not in State College. Man, John, it's been I'll tell you what, these bowl trips are always fun, especially the New Year's Six ones. We've talked about it on here before about how these bowls love to spoil the media. And I'll warn our listeners, if you're hungry right now, I'm about to make that worse. Essentially, they're offering us Chick-fil-A like three times a day. It's just always
24/7.
Yeah. I mean, like, imagine being in a space where you're in a hospitality suite and there are constantly Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches there. They're in like one of those catering bags where they're always warmed. It's bizarre. I just need to
delicious is what it is.
From all the chicken. Yeah, we're all gonna like leave this bowl trip gaining 20 pounds. It's a mess. But it's a good time. Good time so far.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And while you're here and while you're presumably salivating now, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That always helps. Leave a review there. Hit that like button, that subscribe button down below if you're watching on YouTube. But yeah, it's a fun trip. Like you said, we always have a good time at these things. We had some discussions with some Penn State players though over the last 2 days, or I believe our only two pregame availabilities until the game on Saturday. Some interesting stuff came out of that. We've had some bowl declaration or some draft declarations, excuse me, at some less than opportune times, I would call them. But yeah, a lot going on for a week that's kind of a celebration almost of the 2023 season.
Yeah, you know, this whole thing of our guys, one, are they going to declare for the draft? Two, are they opting out? And then it's like, how much are you going to play in the bowl game? Like, there's just so many layers to this, which, again, we didn't have to deal with this a few years ago, but this is college football in 2023. It's not going away anytime soon. So I guess the newsiest bit of information came out Wednesday night. It's about 9:45 p.m. Adisa Isaac said that he will be declaring for the NFL draft, and which again, not a surprise. Like, I think it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that he would declare, especially after the season he had 7.5 sacks. But we had a chance to talk with Adisa Isaac Thursday morning, and so literally like less than 12 hours after he announces he's talking to us, which is nice. One of the things he did say, John, that kind of caught my eye going back listening to it, or caught my ear, I should say, listening to it. He said that he had some lingering thoughts about what if he would have come back to Penn State. And obviously, I think he's making the right decision. He feels like he's making the right decision. And it just reminded me of a conversation I had with him last year in Los Angeles ahead of the Rose Bowl. And, you know, he's coming back from that Achilles injury at that point and didn't feel like he was himself. And you fast forward a year, he's had a hell of a year, which, again, that does not happen if he does not come back. So he made the right decision last year, improved his draft stock, but this is it. And then I believe it was you who asked him how much he plans to play against Ole Miss in the Peach Bowl Saturday at noon.
I asked, I staked out at four different players/coaches over the last 2 days, and I asked three of the fourth being Ty Howell. I do not feel obligated to ask Ty Howell if he plans on playing in the game on Saturday.
Are you just assuming things now, John? You're just assuming?
It feels fair.
Was there any ambiguity there?
No, there was no ambiguity there. But I did ask Adisa how much he plans on playing, and he said, at first he said he, you know, plans on playing the whole game, and then he kind of said, like, well, definitely the first half, you know, we'll see. He started by saying they're going to play it by ear, right? Like, and that was the plan. But then he said, definitely the first half, we'll see if, like, they slow down a little bit in the second half, which is, I think, kind of what my expectation is for a lot of these guys, right? I don't think it's just Adisa. I asked Theo Johnson. He said they didn't have a plan yet. I asked Curtis Jacobs. He said they didn't really have a plan, and that he was just going to allow them to handle what they think is best for him. You know, I'm not really surprised. We heard that there is a plan for Kalen King from James Franklin. We don't know what that is. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know if it involves necessarily playing much at all, right? Same with Olu Fashanu. We don't know how much he's going to play. I will say, Audrey, one thing I feel confident saying at this point, and I'm not reporting anything.
Uh-oh.
But I don't think Johnny Dixon's going to be playing in the game on Saturday.
Yeah, let's unpack that one here for a second. So I went to Anthony Poindexter today, Thursday. He was available, which again, to kind of frame this better for our listeners. So we had about five defensive players and the defensive coordinator. And then yesterday, Wednesday, it was about five offensive players and the offensive coordinator. Again, Penn State has four. Yes, Penn State has four total interim coordinators right now. And the other two guys, of course, are hired and are here, but they're not made available to us because they're not leading the charge here, so to speak. So Penn State right now has six coordinators. Three of them were made available, the two yesterday being Ty Howell and Jaywon Sider, the co-OCs. And then today we heard from Anthony Poindexter, which means Rob Smith. The interim DC. I don't think we're ever just going to hear from the guy. It's going to be one of those great mysteries. Like, he's just here. He's going to be a co-coordinator. And Anthony Poindexter was the only co-defensive coordinator made available today. So who knows? That probably means nothing. Just weird to us that we'll probably literally never, ever talk to this man. But I was down at Anthony Poindexter and I asked him about Johnny Dixon. I said, you know, we've seen three bowl practices now. You and I were on site for one of them here because Penn State changed their practice schedule while we were in the air. So that was a nice little wrinkle. So we saw the one practice yesterday. Johnny Dixon was not there during our media viewing window. We saw the practices back in State College. Johnny Dixon was not there during the media viewing window. So I asked Anthony Poindexter, where's Johnny Dixon? Is he here? Do you anticipate that he's going to play? He laughed and said, that is a question for the head coach. You're going to have to ask the boss that one. So James Franklin, if you are a Nittany Dispatch listener, get ready Friday. I will ask you about it. Again, I mean, Johnny Dixon is out of eligibility after this year, but would be an odd move, John, I think at least, to potentially not play in this game. Am I wrong?
Not necessarily, I don't think. I think this is really interesting because these discussions are always, as we've said, it's a case-by-case basis, right? Like, you some level have to protect your future earning power because that, frankly, is more than you'll ever make in college, even with NIL, right? Like, if you get a second contract in the NFL, that is enormous. I don't know of many guys that I can recall anyways that were kind of guaranteed to be done that you know, didn't play at all, didn't travel, didn't do any of this stuff, right? Like, we know that Chop Robinson isn't here, but we also know that Chop Robinson's a projected first round pick, has been for a while, and has had eligibility left. I could have come back, all of that.
Well, and he made his intention known that he wasn't going to play the game. That's the other thing.
And we've seen, I believe it was Johnny Dixon posted that he was training not in Pennsylvania when the team was in Pennsylvania still, or at least was not in Pennsylvania when the team was in Pennsylvania on his social media. But It's strange to me to make this decision in, is it going to help him necessarily to play in the game? I don't think so, but I don't know. I should say, I also don't know that it would hurt him. Right. Like, and I don't know that, I think it could be more helpful than harmful, I guess, for him, because he's not a first round pick, right? I would be really surprised if he's a first round pick. Is there a chance he goes top 75? Yeah, I think so. Like, I think that's, you know, reasonable range. Late second round is like probably the high end of the outcome, and things can change in the draft process. If he tests really well, that will change. But yeah, I just think it's a different decision. I don't know that it's necessarily incorrect. I just don't think it's something we've kind of been exposed to before, because we're not used to seeing guys in that position make this decision. He is limiting risk, which I don't think is necessarily an incorrect thing, although you can also get hurt training. Like, that's not impossible either, but you're limiting contact issues by at least not playing the game. I don't know. It feels different, right? It feels like something we're not used to seeing. It feels like it could end up working out really well for him. It could end up that, you know, that I'm sure there will be teams, because this is the way some teams think, and I don't necessarily agree with it, that see it as a negative that he did this, right? And I don't know that he rises to the level of prospect where Chop is at, for instance, where you could say, okay, like, whatever, like, that is not a thing that's going to be considered. I think this could be a thing. I don't know that. I'm not saying for sure. I don't even necessarily know that or think that Johnny made the wrong decision. I just, like I said, I think this could be more harmful than helpful, I guess. And there's probably a little bit more downside to me than there is upside with this one.
And to me, we heard so much this bowl season, and we heard it down here so far too from players saying that, you know, guys are going to play, right? We heard it from Theo Johnson before Penn State got here. Captains play, guys aren't opting out. Curtis Jacobs had alluded to today that there was like a meeting before bowl season in which a lot of the guys said, like, yeah, we're playing. Now, again, what these roles look like to be determined on game day in terms of snap counts and all that. But there's seemingly been a very planned, very forward effort for guys to play in this game and to reiterate that, you know, 10 wins is meaningful. A New Year's Six Bowl is meaningful. A win in the Peach Bowl would be a meaningful win and potentially a nice springboard into 2024. Whether or not John and I believe about springboards and momentum to next year, who knows? I don't know.
I don't, if that's a discussion, I mean, we can have that discussion if you want, because I do think it's interesting, because I don't necessarily believe in a springboard necessarily. I do believe in the confidence that it can give someone to help them. I'm not a big believer in momentum in general, and people will hate me for that, I'm sure. But, like, I do think that things going poorly can lead to other things going poorly if it impacts you mentally,
Snowball
right? Like, I
effect.
think that is, yeah, like, I think that's real. I don't think, like, you're just doing worse because you've been doing bad, or you're doing good because you've been doing good. I think it has to do with other stuff, like the mental aspect of playing sports and everything like that. But I do think, like, this can be a confidence boost. But more importantly, I actually don't think Johnny Dixon not playing in this game is all that bad for Penn State. It makes them worse on Saturday, without a shadow of a doubt. They're
For sure.
probably worse Saturday without him. And, you know, even if he had played like five reps, right? And without him for a whole game, they're definitely worse. I think for the 2024 team, this is going to open opportunities. Presumably, we don't know how much Kalen King's going to play, so I'm going to assume that he's not playing much. Maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea. But that would mean Cam Miller gets a lot of reps. That means the door's open for Zion Tracy, for Elliott Washington, three guys that we expect, Miller, Elliott Washington, or sorry, Miller, Washington, and Tracy to have big roles next year. And so I think getting those guys reps can help with that confidence, can help with experience. So when they go out, say, against West Virginia in Morgantown, that it's not like, oh man, this is my first start, or this is my first time getting heavy reps. Like, this is an opportunity to lead into that. They still have spring ball and everything to prep for stuff like that. But I do think there's no harm in these guys getting
It's
reps, because,
meaningful. Yes.
yeah. And I think bowl games, and again, people might disagree with this too, because it's not how bowl games used to be viewed, but I think now they're a better view into the next season. It's almost like a weird early preseason game than anything. And I think that's beneficial for the program.
No, you're right on that. It does it the feelings around these games, it's different. It feels less of a bow on the season and more of a, hey, let's see what 2024 might have. Now, that's obviously because everyone expected more out of Penn State this year than 10 and 2 and all those things. Now, here's where my thinking on springboards changed. Last year, up until last year, I was a believer in it, and I thought last year, yeah, going off that Rose Bowl, the way Nick Singleton looked, the way they ran the ball, the way that offense looked, I was like, oh yeah, that's big momentum boost for next year. It matters. And then the offense just came out this year and was a complete dud and all of those things, right? So the Penn State offense this season kind of soured my theory on momentum. Now,
I was going to say, I
obviously.
have some theories on why that's different, right? I think the biggest reason is the offensive coordinator went rogue, it kind of seems, right? Like, it, from all indications, was not as communicative, at least, as he needed to be. And I think what people pointed to as the breakout, where they probably got a little lost in the weeds a little bit, was with Keandre Lambert-Smith. It's like, okay, he had this big game. It's like, well, he had like a couple big catches. Like we'd seen that he'd been capable of doing that.
Right.
This was not a seven catch, you know, 120 yard, two touchdown performance where like there weren't any big play outliers. It's just like chunk play after chunk play after chunk play. He made a big play in the game, had a big impact on the game, but I don't think this was an indication of a breakout that maybe if you just looked at the box score that you maybe thought it was. I think that's a lot of it too, right? The receiving core shifted so drastically that we didn't account for that enough. Like I think there was some assumed areas where we thought guys would step up and receivers like the prime position.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that to happen.
Right.
Now here a year later. I mean, and the crazy thing is, I mean, that was the storyline all spring, all summer, all preseason. Like that to me was the big thing. So yeah, so I've changed my mindset on the game being a springboard just because rosters change so quickly now. I do think you're correct in that the more positives you stack up, the better, right? The more confidence you get for some of these younger guys, the better. One of the younger guys that I am curious to see more of, we saw a lot of him this year. He burned a redshirt, but we mentioned Adisa Isaac. And again, what his role looks like on Saturday. Jameel Lyons is somebody who we've been hearing a lot about down here, asking a lot about. Curtis Jacobs had I asked Adisa Isaac about it, and Curtis Jacobs had mentioned a series this, gosh, I almost said
three
this
consecutive,
preseason.
I was going to say three consecutive plays
in
a scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, where he had, I believe it was a pass breakup, a tackle for loss, and a strip sack in a row in three plays in a scrimmage setting, which is like not something you see often.
Well, but here's the other thing, John. We got to ask about the offensive line. That was where my head went when he said, like, oh, you did all these things. And I was like, wow, that's
so
great.
Cynical.
I was like, oh boy, but the offensive line. No, but I do think Lyons, we've seen the freakish athleticism this year, and I heard a lot about it. I mean, I remember going to Roman Catholic High School and sitting down with him and as a recruit and going over kind of his path to Penn State. So yeah, to me, he's somebody who I think we're gonna see more and more of. But I don't wanna just gloss over all of this just yet. We've got other NFL decisions. Daquan Hardy will not come back for a sixth year, right? That's been out there in the lead up to the bowl game, but Thursday was the first time we had a chance to talk with him about that decision. I spent some time with him and I said, you know, did Terry Smith try to talk you into coming back at all? Because obviously Terry Smith is his guy, not only his position coach, but the guy who recruited him, who offered him the day before signing day, in which Daquan Hardy pounced on that offer. And he said no, that Terry was very much kind of in support of whatever he wanted to do. And I think what a lot of people have to kind of remember or keep in mind with these decisions, I think on the surface, it's easy to say, hey, Daquan Hardy could come back, be a starter, all those things. Daquan Hardy was like, yeah, I just really don't think I want to do another year in state college, right? Like, this is somebody who he said it was like, I just felt like I was ready to move on with my life. That is fair. That is understandable. I asked about his draft grade and what kind of feedback he had gotten. And he said that his draft grade, he was told it could be day two, which would mean rounds two or three, or day three. He said he didn't hear anything beyond day three, which means he didn't get any feedback suggesting that he would go undrafted. So again, it's just another decision that's made that's out there. Devon Elise also said Thursday, which remember, he also has a COVID year if he wants it. He said he will make a decision Saturday after the game. So we are almost in the clear for decision season, but we're not quite there yet.
By the way, I don't think
a lot.
We didn't get a decision from Kalen King, but he seems like he's going to be on a limited rep count at the bowl game, which clearly indicates that he's leaving. It is a funny thing.
You know, John, I'm just going to put this out there. I'm going to sound like, you know, old person yelling at cloud right now. All these draft decisions, and I know James Franklin has shared his disdain for them and why announce things that are obvious. Put a deadline on it, right? Like, tell all of the players it's your decision to make this decision, announce it when you want, but get it all out of the way, whether that is before you leave for the bowl site or before you have your first practice here. I mean, it really just feels
like
this whole
deadline.
Thing is drawn out. Well, yeah, for the NFL, there's a deadline. But for my sanity, where's the deadline, right?
So here's the problem with that. James clearly, I think, thinks it's a competitive advantage to have guys not make announcements. Which I think is silly. Like, just like a, if we can deduce, I think probably as of 10 days ago, right? We kind of knew who was staying and who was going. I think most fans could probably deduce who was staying and who was going, maybe with one or two, you know what I mean, outliers there that we didn't know. Is that really, like, do you think it's really all that difficult for Ole Miss to figure that out, to decipher who is going to be playing in the game and who isn't? I just think it's, I don't know. College football coaches are pretty paranoid, right? Like, they yeah. think that they're being spied on, which I guess Michigan proven some points this year. But
yeah.
it is like it. So they essentially see that as every little opportunity to have an advantage, they try and take it, right? And so I think that's all that is going to keep this this disguise up for a little bit, pretty much every year. And so I don't think it's
to the point where we're asking players about it, and within hours they're releasing these statements that are made on team issued graphics, and it's like, all right, we don't enjoy asking these questions. I'm sure they don't enjoy right. answering them. Like, something's got to give here because it's driving me absolutely crazy.
Well, and what is frustrating is, mm-hmm. and I might have gone on this rant on the last podcast. If I did, I apologize. At Bull Media Day, James took a question and misconstrued it into something else. And went on this rant about why asking, you know what I mean, what is the need to ask?
Rant, well, is a strong word.
Yeah, a little bit of a rant. When you have Tyler Warren announcing that he's coming back with a graphic written by your program, that is why it gets asked. Because if we're to assume that someone's coming back, then why is there a graphic being made, right? Like, what, right. like, it is, it's... I think it's a little bit ridiculous to take that stance and then release those graphics, right, for anyone that comes back. If it's to be assumed that everyone's coming back, then only graphics should come out for guys that are leaving, right? Like, I think it's, like I said, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. I actually completely disagree with him. I think all of these guys that are coming back, if they want, should have a graphic to put out. They should be able to do that. They should not, you know what I mean?
I just it want a graphic that says, please let all the graphics stop, right?
Yes, that would be nice.
Or keep the announcements Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, preferably not right before Christmas.
or gosh, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot. And it goes to the crazy calendar in December and all of these kinds of things. We haven't heard from Keandre Lambert-Smith in probably, what, a month, maybe? Maybe we heard Michigan State week or after that game. So that to me is kind of, we talk about lingering decisions and those types of things. Haven't heard from him in a long time. We haven't spoken with Dante Cephas in a long time.
We haven't heard from a receiver since Michigan State.
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Amari
yeah.
Evans post Michigan State, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And that got in that. I don't want to revisit that media scene there. That was a,
yeah, that's
cluster.
Another discussion.
I know fans keep asking about the receivers and these types of things, and we're asking other players about the receivers because we haven't heard from a receiver in a long time. But we're on to receivers now, and Theo Johnson, who we know is not coming back next year because he made that plan known. Theo Johnson was asked about Harrison Wallace III, Trey Wallace.
Yes.
And he gave a very interesting, I think, and I think you agree with me, a very interesting answer.
Yes.
About Harrison Wallace. And the answer was, yeah, like, coming out of preseason, everyone, I'm paraphrasing here, everyone who was watching us in camp, it was clear that he was wide receiver one. And he used the word cooking. He said that Harrison Wallace was cooking Kalen King in the preseason. Now, we did see Trey Wallace at practice on Wednesday, had a really nice catch again during our 10-minute viewing window. We'll see if he plays on Saturday or not. I'm sure that'll come down to the pregame availability report, as always. But this is a decision that Jaywan Sider said comes down to James Franklin and Trey Wallace, and if both sides kind of feel comfortable. But if you are grasping for straws and positivity and optimism with this receiving core in 2024, that's a big old boost right there.
Yeah, and I will be interested to see if he rises to that level that mm-hmm. Theo talked about as like a wide receiver one. But I do think, like, they clearly missed having a second player they could trust, right? That mm-hmm. would at least be in the right spots. And frankly, by the end of the year, the only guy that they could trust to be in the right spots, or I shouldn't say by the end of the year, by like Michigan, right? Like, by that yeah. game, And things changed when Mike Yurcich got fired and everything. But up until that point, like, it even felt like Keandre Lambert-Smith and Drew Aller weren't on the same page. And so you were kind of down to zero, right? And so I think there were obvious places he could have really helped out. I don't know that he's a true number one. Like I said, I think the athleticism there, and all of the talent is there. It's about putting it together, staying healthy, which
that's,
you know,
big,
I don't like to do the like injury prone thing, especially when it's like just like random freak injuries, mm-hmm. which it seems like it is with Trey Wallace. Like it's,
I mean, because one of them, James even told us he came back and then he got stepped on, like just,
yeah,
freaky, you know.
Yeah, one is like a, you know, an unlucky injury. The other one is you land wrong and something happens, right? Like it's one of those scenarios where it's like, okay, like I understand, like he is hurt a lot, but it's not like he's getting, you know, he's got constant like muscle issues where he's got like hamstring issues constantly. It's other stuff that's just unlucky, I think. I'm not a doctor though, so maybe I'm wrong. But
John Stauber, MD. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think he's going to help out in the bowl game. I think having, you know, him, Dante Cephas, Keandre Lambert-Smith, as far as we know, all, if Wallace plays, I assume all three would play.
Who's to say?
Right. But I do think having those guys at full health could finally give us a glimpse into what this was maybe supposed to look like this season, and maybe can quell some concerns about the need for a complete revamp of the wide receiver room next year, because we're pretty confident the Cephas is coming back. I don't know that there's a reason to think otherwise. Yeah. We still have not heard anything in either direction with Keandre Lambert-Smith, because we've not spoken to him, and like you said, in a while. And then presumably Trey Wallace will be back too. And so if you have Wallace and at least Cephas and potentially also Lambert-Smith, then you have the foundation of like, okay, there are guys that you can trust and that can excel at this level. You can maybe supplement it then, right? Like go get that veteran leader, guy who's going to set the tone in the room, someone in the portal that, I don't know, maybe he's like played big time college football before, played at this level of competition.
Has the same initials as the head coach.
Wow, it's obviously specific. I don't know who that would be either. But, you know, maybe he's a good blocker. And all of these things, like you can go get that type of player. And that really, then you're talking about elevating a room that maybe hits the baseline that you need it to. And you're taking it to another level rather than trying to get to that baseline. Pretty confident that even if they get that type of receiver, that they will keep looking for other receivers. I don't think it stops at one this offseason. No. But I do think like having Wallace and having Cephas at that level, and then we'll see with Lambert-Smith, but having those two at the level that you maybe thought they were going to be at is enormous for setting the tone and what this team can be next season. Let's take a brief break from the podcast, talk about the good people over at Voodoo Brewing Company, located at 201 Elmwood Street in State College. Voodoo is honestly a place that I miss right now, right? Like it is, we are down here in Atlanta. We are having a great time, but could always go for a good Voodoo beer and now a good Voodoo cider, Audrey.
Hot cider. It's that time of year. Yeah, John, you're right. I do miss, I could use a nice little leisurely break right now, get outside a little bit. But I do like the sunshine here, which reminds me, when we're home, Voodoo has the sunshine and we can sit outside there on the patio, have our slushies in the summer, our cider in the winter, and our food all year round from the Voodoo Kitchen.
That's right. That food that you and I have both had in the past is very good. Great takeout beer there too. We don't talk about that enough. Of course, they have trivia on Tuesday nights, bingo at Thursday nights, both of those at 6 p.m. Both are a great time. We've been there for those before. But yeah, go check it out. It's a wonderful place to drink. It's a wonderful place to get beer, hang out, just be social, get outside a little bit, especially in the summertime. That's Voodoo Brewing Company, located at 201 Elmwood Street in State College. Back to the show.
Yeah, I mean, you need help. You need improvement. It's no secret. They know they need to add to that room. When we talked with Marcus Higgins at the early signing period availability, which was only 8 days ago, like you could tell me it was a month ago, and I'd say, yeah, it was a month ago. But we gave him a lot of hypotheticals about the receiving core moving forward, and he mentioned Amari Evans as somebody who, you know, we've seen in the lead up to bowl prep. Caden Saunders, again, another one. And to me, back to the springboard, the momentum thing here, those are the guys that this thing, if you believe in such a thing, that these things matter for, right? Whatever they can get out of these guys in this season finale, that is really important. We did talk with both of the running backs down here. Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, we know they're both committed to being here next year. You know, it's interesting, and it was interesting to hear from Jaywon Sider as well in relation to those guys of how do you feel like they've played this year, or how do you feel like they've gotten better? And, you know, Jaywon continues to pound the table and saying, like, trust me, they're better. Trust me, they understand defenses better. There's so many things that fans and kind of like the untrained eye wouldn't see or wouldn't recognize. And one of the things that Nick Singleton said, he said, yeah, we've gone through a year now of knowing that teams wanted to stop the run and how they were going to defend us. And we've seen it now, and we've seen all these different fronts, and we're better for it. We're better because of it. So, you know, the next level for those guys is interesting. I asked both of them, like, what are you going to be focusing on this offseason? Singleton, like he said last year, catching passes. He's going to spend some more time with the wide receivers, running routes, getting more comfortable. And I said, you know, Nick, I was like, I feel like people probably forget that, you know, his offense coming out of high school, like, this is running routes is not something he was asked to do a lot of. And I think we all kind of just take that for granted probably and say, oh yeah, just he's go out there and run that route. And, oh yeah, make that release look nice, all these things. And it's like, yeah, there's an art to that. There's skill, you know, a lot of skill with that. A lot of practice required with that. So those guys have a lot of things to work on. But again, you have your foundation in place and you got to supplement that. I guess, have we heard from Trey Potts? Is there, could he, I guess he could come back, right? Because, well, he had the medical stuff was really, I don't know. And the medical stuff was really weird at Minnesota.
Yeah. I think he has a year. I don't know.
Does he have a graphic? Well, could he have a graphic? Not. Does he have one? I don't know.
Clearly hasn't posted one yet. Trying to phrase. Yeah. This, I don't know that I would expect him back.
I mean, given what they have in that room, you added Quentin Martin to it. You added, I mean, two running backs this cycle. Yeah, no, I get you.
If I had to guess, RB3 next year is Quentin Martin, right? Pretty early, like a lot of time for that to change.
Actually,
pretty drastically.
I'd like to add on to that Quentin Martin part, because you said that and it made me think of one of the things Jaywon Sider said. He was asked about Martin, and again, because he's signed now, we can have these conversations. He mentioned it, and we heard about it at the early signing day as well from Terry Smith and Marcus Hagans, that this is a guy that they could kind of be a bit of a de facto wide receiver in terms of, this guy's a playmaker. Let's do what we can to get the ball in his hands early. Very interesting chess piece for Coach K.
Yeah, for Andy Kodelnicki. but no, I do think, like, they're going to find ways to get guys involved in the offense. And that may have been said about Quentin Martin. I think it was said about, like, it could have been said about any guy in the room, right? Like, any guy in the running back room, any guy in the receiver room, any guy in the tight end room. They're going to find ways to get their best players the ball in space, which is, like, the core of playing offensive football in 2023. Yeah, like, that is what the game is about. So it seems basic and it seems like pretty straightforward, but it wasn't always happening this year, specifically for, I don't know, 10 games. But I do think that this is going to be true of Quentin Martin. It's going to be true of Nick Singleton. It's going to be true of Katron Allen. Wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of 21 personnel next year, right? Even if we're 22 personnel with one receiver, two running backs, two tight ends. Like, this is one of the most talented running back rooms in the country. They're going to use them. They're going to find ways to use those guys. You know, there are other guys in the room, too, that can contribute. The freshmen that came in this year's class are good athletes. I don't know if they're going to be ready yet. London Montgomery, as we know, also is dealing with recovery from the knee injury. So we don't know when he's going to be fully ready. But, yeah, I do think this is, you know, Quentin Martin's going to be part of a group that is arguably the best on the team and is going to be put in position to succeed out of the backfield, out wide at receiver. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Katron Allen split out wide more often, because he's a really good route runner. I think a lot of people don't give him enough credit for that. I think a lot of people see Nick Singleton being the better athlete, assume he runs routes better on the outside. That's not been the case thus far in their Penn State careers. So I think Katron really is a chance to be utilized in that role. Maybe he split out wide with both running backs in the backfield. I don't know. They're going to have opportunities to do it, is the point, and they're going to do it, I think, quite a bit next year.
Yeah, and that to me, again, is you're trying to figure out how all these pieces fit together for 2024, right? And obviously, we talked with Drew Aller out here, which is important to hear from him again. And I asked him about Danny O'Brien and said, hey, since we last talked to you, we now know that the plan is to have Andy Kotelnicki, James Franklin, and Danny O'Brien all work with the quarterbacks in 2024. Kind of like, what are your thoughts on that? Do you like that? Do you not? And Drew said, you know, he is on board with it, which is good because it's happening, right? There's no other choice. Right. So, you know, he's on board with it. And he said the thing he likes about it is that over this past month, there's been a lot of collaboration, right? There's been more than one voice in their meeting room, and that's been good, and that he's liked that kind of meshing and melding of ideas. And I said, you know, why was it so important to you that as soon as you found out Mike Yurcich was getting fired, that you wanted to make sure Danny O'Brien was still going to be a big part of this room? And he said that he just feels that Danny understands them, that he understands the culture at Penn State, the fact that Danny O'Brien played for James Franklin. He's like, he knows how James wants things done. He knows how James runs a program, runs a practice, and that there's a lot of value and trust built with those guys. Because again, I mean, I think the other thing we all have to remember here is once this bowl game ends Saturday, right? So Saturday, by probably like 4:30, right, after confetti. I'm assuming there's probably confetti at this bowl game. Falls one way or the other.
I hope it's way earlier than 4:30.
Well, I'm saying like game ends, but the confetti's done. The locker room's cleared out. You and I are buried in the laptops, brainstorming for our post-game edition of the Nittany Dispatch. But everything changes in that moment, right? These guys that are going off to the NFL, they will get on flights either later that day or the next morning and head out to training facilities. Those who are staying, they'll return. And then it's like, hey, you've got a new offense to learn. You've got a new defensive coordinator to get familiar with. And while these guys have been here and the dynamic has been really good from what we've been told, with you know, these newly hired coordinators floating through meeting rooms and giving their input here and there, but also not overstepping. Like, it's been a really interesting dynamic there, I'm sure, but it sounds like it's going well. Like, all of that changes in a moment, right? So your season ends and it's so quick. Keep in mind too, the semester starts in like a week and a half, right? So then you have that. So if by chance you're getting any transfer portal guys who are going to be here this winter, that would then be coming too. So, you know, it's just everything happens so quickly. You know, that you just have to kind of keep all of that in mind. And that was something I talked with some of the NFL guys about on Thursday and said, hey, like, where are you going to be training at? Have you figured it out? And, you know, I believe it was Adisa Isaac who said, he's like, I've got it narrowed down to two facilities somewhere in Florida, but I'm not sure which one yet. Somebody's going to Fort Lauderdale. I know Daquan Hardy
is going to Fort Lauderdale.
And Daquan Hardy said he's going somewhere in Florida and that other Penn State players will also be training there. So I don't know if that maybe means another cornerback. I don't know.
Or potentially have been training there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Well, but yeah, I mean,
I'm not making any assumptions here. I'm just throwing it out.
No, I mean, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. I do want to mention, you and I had a chance to go to the College Football Hall of Fame on Wednesday night. Penn State's players did as well. We went after them after they had their fun in the exhibit. We very much had like a Night at the Museum vibe there, where like,
so,
you know,
to the point that I was looking, I wasn't looking at my phone. I was walking around with, it was you and I for, you know, to paint the whole pictures, me, you, Daniel Gallen, Tyler Donahue of Lions 24/7 and Ben Jones of statecollege.com meandering through there and talking to Tyler. And I looked at my phone and you had called me and I was like, uh-oh. I was like, I think we lost her. And I did not know where you were at that moment in time. So
yeah, I was somewhere between like Reggie Bush's locker and you guys were over. They've got this whole area with like the wall of coaching quotes. And I was like, oh no, I've got separated from the group. I'm in this museum. Like, maybe I'm going to end up spending the night here. I don't know. But it was really cool. And we got to see Anthony Poindexter. You know, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2020, got to see his name in there. And they have part of the exhibit, you hit like the touch screen and they play highlights and that type of thing.
Yeah.
And Penn State's players had some fun with that when they went through the museum Wednesday night before we did. And as they went through the Hall of Fame, Poindexter said he's like, you know, some guys don't realize that I played or that I was like, you know, really kind of any good, paraphrasing here, and then they played his highlights.
He was He was
doing
too humble
really
to say
good.
that. He was too nice to say that he's one of the best safeties to ever play college football, and they didn't realize that. But yeah, I think they found out when they watched his highlights.
Yeah, so they had the highlights in there, and then you and I found an artifact that Penn
Yes.
State fans, anyone who's coming to Atlanta,
Sorry. We're sorry.
if you're gonna do the Hall of Fame, I'd recommend it. I mean, it was really cool, it was neat.
Yeah.
But I'm warning you on the
You're
second
gonna get to
floor.
I'll lay this out. You're gonna get to an exhibit, and there's some like footballs and framed cases. You may be thinking, I wonder what games those footballs are from. Don't. Just continue to walk, and that way you don't have to see the football that is from. I think it was sometime in October of 2021, of a 9 overtime game between Penn State and Illinois, which was I saw it and I audibly laughed. Like I just, this was
I
not of all
cackled.
the things we saw in the Hall of Fame. Like you see all these jerseys with Heisman trophies there, which by the way did not have one in Reggie Bush's locker. I would die on this hill that that is incorrect by the NCAA. But we were looking around. You have all these things like how uniforms have changed throughout the years, how shoulder pads and cleats and
College game
stuff.
day set, right? You can
Yeah,
sit at the
college
game
game
day
day
desk.
set. There's like a sing a fight song, little karaoke thing there too. And there's also a football from the 9 overtime game in 2021. And it is just a very funny juxtaposition of all of this history of the sport and also that game, which was one of the longest days of my life.
That was one of those moments that I was like, yes, we covered a historic game per the College
Yeah.
Football Hall of Fame. I mean, I'm just a little offended they didn't ask for my game story that day. I could have
I
submitted
know.
it. I mean, I quite frankly, I feel like nine overtimes, you deserve a little more than a football. Like they should have a whole room dedicated to like all of the games everyone would like to forget but can't.
Each overtime, just go,
A room for each
overtime by
overtime.
overtime. Yeah, that's right.
It, like they should, and they should put the rooms at opposite ends of the Hall of Fame, so you
So
have to
you have to
walk
go.
back and forth.
It's overtime one is on the right end of the hall. Overtime two is on the left end. Overtime three is on the right end until you get to
Yeah,
nine. That's a good idea.
I
There's poor
I'll.
photographers that day.
God, that's brutal. I'll pitch that to the Hall of Fame. I'm sure they probably want some feedback after we went through. But that was really cool, and that was one of the things that the players had a chance to do while they're down here. And to be able to do that with their teammates and with the coaching staff was interesting. I saw some photos of that today, where James Franklin was looking at the wall of quotes and was just kind of standing there staring at the wall of quotes. So again, like there's some really really cool stuff to check out there. Gosh, John, is there anything we haven't hit on yet with this, again, this rapid fire availability we've had down here? Well, again, we will hear from James Franklin
Yeah.
tomorrow on Friday. The Franklin Kiffin joint press conference
I
will
was
be
gonna
interesting.
say those are usually pretty like,
Tame.
oh, you're great. Oh no, you're great. No, we think you're great.
We're
Back
all
and forth.
grateful to be here.
Yeah. But this is Lane Kiffin, so there's a little volatility in there, which I appreciate. But no, I think we hit on everything. I guess we may as well get to the game now, right? This matchup of teams that is like it's funny. We base a lot of our analysis in results, right? And results kind of color how you view the team. Penn State could lose this game Saturday and look really like have young guys look really good. And I will think it's more valuable. I would think that would be more valuable than them winning the game and having like the departing players make the big play. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things where you're
Yeah,
more
in
encouraged
some
for the
ways I
future of the
see that.
program
Yeah.
if the
If the
youth
younger
plays
guys.
well, rather than like, you know, if like Olufashinu had this big game and his 7 reps was like, yeah, of course he did. Or if, you know, Kalen King had a pick in limited snaps or Daquan Hardy or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, but if Cam Miller goes out and has a big game or if or shuts someone down, right? Or
Trey
if Denai Dennis
Wallace.
Sutton and Trey or Trey Wallace or one of these receivers has a big game, but they lose on like a last second field goal. I think that's more encouraging because, and I know James would disagree with this, but I think
Vehemently
getting,
disagree with this, yes.
of course, and by the way, he should. Their goal is to win games, right? Their goal is to win this game on Saturday. The goal Saturday is not to develop for the future. It's part of what you want to achieve, but the primary objective is to win the game. But I think it is better for the health of the program in the future, the 2024 season, which I think at this point fans have probably turned their heads to a little bit too. I think we all have, right? Like because I mean honestly, that
We've
Michigan
been
game
asking a lot
happens.
about 2024, yeah.
Yeah, but the Michigan game happens. It's like, okay, well, how can they get this turned around for 2024, right? Like, that's when you kind of turn the page mentally to them trying to reach what they're actually trying to reach. And so I think in a lot of ways, a close loss with proof of concept for the young guys is better than a win that doesn't show us anything for next year, right? And I think honestly that on some level there might be more excitement for the fans heading into next year, whereas I'm sure there will be people if they win and like, it's because Adisa Isaac and Curtis Jacobs had big games. It's like, oh man, we're really gonna miss these guys. You know what I mean? Like that's the
Yeah,
immediate mindset that fans would take because of that. So I think I don't know. What I would say is this, and we'll get into our predictions here in a second. Ole Miss is a good team, right? Jackson Dart is a more than capable quarterback. I was going through with David Eckert, former colleague on the beat, now covers Mississippi, the Clarion Ledger, I believe. And he we were talking about like where Jackson Dart ranks and at quarterbacks. And I said, I think he's a good, not great quarterback that I kind of thought that Ole Miss might dip into the portal a little bit because they're going to make a run next year at the playoff because their schedule's easier and they're killing it in the portal right now. And we talk it through. It's like, well, he might be like the fourth or fifth best quarterback in the SEC this year, right? Like he's good. It's fine. Quinshon Judkins, good running back. They have really good receivers. Their defense is incredibly well coached. Pete Golding is not getting enough credit for how good of a job he's done. I think they're 20th in SP Plus this year defensively, 20th or 21st. Don't quote me on that. It's one of the two though.
I'm
And
quoting you
like
on
they've
that.
done, that's fine, whatever. But they've been really good defensively, given that they're kind of a slow defense from an athletic standpoint. So they're really well coached defensively. This is a good test for Penn State, right? Like it's a good team they're going to face. I don't know that losing that game against that team changes the referendum on what 2023 was, right? Like they win or lose,
Yeah, I'm with you.
I would try to enjoy the process, and this is my line of thinking
Whoa.
in everything, but specifically with this
TTP.
game, enjoy the process of how Saturday happens and rather than what the result is, right? Because the result I don't think is necessarily going to be indicative of much. Penn State's going to be without its best players. Both of its coordinators are gone, although you would argue that that's kind of helping on offense. On defense, it probably isn't. A bunch of talent is gone. They're going to be rotating more, would be my guess. And it's going to be a glimpse in the future more than anything else. So don't let your happiness hinge on this result. I know it's, listen, fans do it. I was going to be crushed had the Eagles lost on Monday. I get it. But like, it doesn't have to be this way for a bowl game, I guess.
Hey, I'm ready to watch the Packers on Sunday without their top cornerback. So let's have ourselves a day.
Yeah, we're gonna see Cam Miller go out for the coin toss without telling anybody, and then try and start the half without the ball in the first and second half.
Penn State's just gonna send another captain out there unannounced.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Google Jair Alexander right now and see why
And
that
Jair
is funny.
Alexander coin toss, and you will have yourself
Yes.
a time. The thing that I am most curious to see on Saturday, again, we talk about these unknown to us plans, unknown snap counts, how often or how much are guys going to play, these NFL draft guys. What happens if this is a close game, which I'm expecting it to be? You're in the second half, it's a close game. Does Olufashinu stay on the sideline? Right? Does Adisa Isaac stay on the sideline? Does Kalen King maybe stay on the I don't know. Like I genuinely am
I
very
think I know.
curious how that plays out. How what happens?
I think they stay on the sideline unless they're clamoring to go back in, because I think
Yeah,
the
but if
goal
they
is.
are, does the coach let them go in, or you try to protect them from themselves, or how much risk is there
You
to
know what?
playing one more half? I don't know.
Honestly, I think they protect them from themselves, and I think that is the right decision. You come in with a plan, you stick to the plan, you don't stray from it just because it's maybe more competitive than you thought. Because I'm sure part of the discussion
We've
is,
seen Penn
okay,
State
what
get
if
away
it's.
from some game plans this year on offense, John. I'm just
Well,
saying.
then there were some staffing changes. But I do think like they're going to stick to the plan because I'm sure they've gone over the contingency of, okay, what if the game's close? And then they discuss it and they have a plan for that. So my guess is they've got all those bases covered. Maybe there are some guys that continue playing, guys who don't. I just think it's not as cool as it would be for Penn State fans and the program to say they're the only team to win or the only program to win every New Year's Six Bowl, right? Like and all that stuff. I just don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I'd forgotten about that, the every bowl win potential storyline, because they kind of that was pumped out there early in December with the bowl announcement, and then you know, everything else happened this month. But yeah, I just wonder how much do you play or not play these guys? But I think you're right in saying that they have to protect them from themselves. And I think back to the Fiesta Bowl with Saquon Barkley, and that's what they did. He was there, he was involved, and I'm sure he wanted to play more in that game as it unfolded. But you're mitigating risk, right? That's kind of the name of the game. When we were at practice Wednesday, we got a very nice up-close look at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's beautiful. I mean, I expected it would be beautiful. It is fantastic. I think it's going to look insanely nice on TV. And if you're coming to the game, I'm sure the sight lines are going to be ridiculous. They've got the big overhead, I don't know what you call it, like screen
video board
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, circular video board. It is. It's very nice. I've been here once before, which was an awesome experience then. I covered the 2018 Bama-Georgia national title game, the one where Devontae Smith got the game-winning touchdown in overtime. I still have that video on my phone. It's very it was the first college football game I ever covered. It was a pretty surreal experience.
Wait, you took a video, John?
I know. Shocker.
And it's usable?
Listen,
wow.
That's just some good foresight because, you know, go Birds.
You knew, yeah.
Devontae Smith. That was the game that Jalen Hurts got benched at halftime, though, and you're in the locker room and everything there. And we'll have that kind of access, too, after the game, which is good. I think
we're not saying that anyone's going to get benched. We're just saying we'll have that access.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Sorry. I don't want anyone to twist that. But we'll have that access to the locker room and to make it to allow us to tell that story of Saturday or of the season, frankly, better, and to tell the story of what's to come a little bit better, which I think will be nice. But, yeah, this is – I've been told, I haven't looked and sat in every seat or anything, but I've been told that every sight line is great in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The press box is great. Last time I was here, there is an ice cream machine in there. So if you need me, that is where I will be. But it is, it's going to be a good time for us. I think for fans, if you're down here, enjoy it. It's a great time. You don't get these chances much. And with the playoff changing, like there's a world where Penn State is like consistently in the playoff, but if you lose in the first round,
yes,
that's just it.
You don't have a bowl
game,
right?
There's no neutral site game. It's just an away game or a home game, and then that's it. So I think, which is an interesting aspect of this moving forward. But yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. I am very much excited for it. But we can get into the predictions, I think, at this point. Would you like to go first?
Yeah.
As the light behind me slowly dims,
I was
going to
say, yikes. I got Penn State 27, Ole Miss 20.
I was going to say, Audrey, I was about to be mad at you.
Did you think I was going to pick Ole Miss? Is that where you're going to be mad? Or do you think?
No, I thought you were going to steal my score, which I had 4 days ago.
Good. We did not discuss our predictions. So we spent a lot of time around each other already this week, but we do not, when it comes to predictions, I just walk away or tune John out like I'm accustomed to doing. He tunes me out like he's accustomed to doing. I do think what we saw, and again, I get it, Michigan State, not a great team, but I do think there was something to that performance and something to that collaboration. And Nick Singleton said it this week that this offense, what they're doing is when something is working, they're sticking to it. And if you're not stopping the run, they're going to keep running until they can stop it, which again, I think kind of speaks to some of the bigger issues earlier this season with the offense, and they've simplified things a bit and it's working. So that's kind of my justification for the pick. Now, again, how often or how much do these players play, opt-outs, all these types of things? Where is Johnny Dixon? All these types of little details we will have to figure out here. So, again, I think the point you made earlier, John, was a good one about don't get too hung up on Saturday one way or the other, because keep in mind, once, 3:30, 4 o'clock hits Saturday, Penn State's getting a new offense. They're getting a new defensive coordinator. And a lot of this just feels kind of patchwork right now. But Penn State has done a really nice job of still making sure that this matters. And that while it certainly has to feel and look patchwork when you have four interim coordinators calling your New Year's Six game, it's been collaborative. It's been a healthy working environment. Anthony Poindexter told us there haven't been egos involved. So I've got Penn State then winning every New Year's Six bowl game, which would be I'm sure that graphic exists somewhere, and that's already ready to get shot off into the internet.
I'm sure it would be tweeted out at like 3:15 if that.
What do you got, John?
By the way, first off, what I've got is you said six coordinators. No, you said six cord. Yeah, I was so
Six? Did I say
terrified that that
six?
was
Oh,
going to
it's
happen.
four.
No, it's seven because you said four. So two co. I'm talking way
Two
earlier in the podcast,
interims.
to be clear. Two interims on each side,
Oh, yeah,
one
I'm not
full
counting
time
special
assistant over.
teams.
Stacey Collins. We are not going to stand for Stacey Collins erasure. That is a coordinator. He is a coordinator,
Okay.
and he counts.
Offense and defense, you have four interim coordinators calling
Show
this
some
game. And then you've got the other
respect
two
for.
floating around. Then yeah, then you've got Stacey Collins there, the equal third phase of the game, sure.
Yes. Show some
Penn State
respect for
has
former head
15
coach
coordinators
Stacey
now.
Collins. Yeah. Well, they do have the recruiting coordinators if we want to loop those
Oh
guys in
God,
too.
yeah, that's true.
So
Everyone's
nine.
a coordinator.
That's right. But no, I have this being a 27-24 win for Penn State. I think it's going to look a lot different than Penn State games have been this year because their defense just like they're we know that one of their best, arguably their best pass rusher, in Chop Robinson is not going to play. Adisa Isaac, we don't know how much he's going to play. Like he said for sure in the first half, which does not sound like definitely in the second half. Johnny Dixon is somewhere right now as a starting corner for someone, I guess. Kalen King, we don't know the reps. Daquan Hardy, we don't know the reps. Curtis Jacobs, we don't know the reps. Like that's a lot of guys that you just don't know how much they're going to play for a defense that was elite. I would expect a drop off on some level, especially Manny Diaz isn't there either, and that's not a knock on Anthony Poindexter or Rob Smith. Like Manny Diaz is one of one, right? Like he is a very unique play caller, does a really good job of feel for the game. But I do think they're going to be able to score. I do think the offense can continue to take steps forward, and I think that'll be kind of the story of this game. And like you said, the biggest thing is like once that game hits 4:30 or once that clock hits 4:30, that result matters so much less than it did when it was happening, right? Like because then everyone is turning to the next page. Everyone's wondering when, wide receivers are committing, when guys are taking visits, when portal guys are going into the portal, when guys are coming out of the portal, when,
What truck people are driving or not
maybe
driving?
what car dealerships you're visiting, for instance,
Who
some
knows?
located specifically in central Pennsylvania. I don't know. Nothing in particular coming to mind there. But I do think it's like the story of Saturday is more about the story of the season and the story of 2024 and a combination of those two things and how one blends into the other. Right. Like, and that is what you and I will be doing and deciphering and looking for and writing about, talking to guys about. Of course, you can find all of that of Audrey's writing at The Athletic. You can find mine at centerdaily.com. That's CENTRE, spelled like Center County. But that's probably a good place to leave this. We've covered a lot of ground. You can follow Audrey on Twitter as well at OddsNighter4. You can find me on Twitter at John Sauber with no H because there's never been an H in my name, contrary to popular
You
belief.
sure?
When I say contrary to popular belief, I mean the emails that I get that include an H,
Yeah,
despite me sending the initial email with no H in there. But I digress. This has been a lot of fun. This week's been a lot of fun. It will continue to be fun. We'll be back post game Saturday. That'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to breaking it down. Looking forward to looking into the future. We'll have, more discussion about where we think guys are going to draft, about the off season, about portal stuff as the off season rolls on. So we'll be here pretty much every step of the way, the rest of the way. But that'll do it for this week's episode of the Nittany Dispatch. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe and like button down below. If you're watching on YouTube, leave the 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.